You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Thank you for listening to the Over Nerds podcast. It's your host here, Meridon, in with episode 34. And today I have another guest with me. I have my man Nindroid from my Overwatch League team. How you doing, Nindroid?
I'm doing great, bro.
Awesome, awesome. So we're going to touch on a lot of stuff today. We're going to learn who Nindroid is. And then we're just going to go kind of standard casts. Last week's games, this coming week's games, power rankings, and we have a juicy overthought section with the new event coming out and some deets from Nickel O'Nickel during his live stream on Facebook for some damn reason. But he did talk to Jeff. Yeah, I love Nickel. O'Nickel. Facebook live stream kind of sucks, but hey, we got some deets. We're good to go. Before we jump into over all the Overwatch League stuff and the Overwatch overthoughts, I should say, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, dude. I'm Nindroid, as you said. I'm only 15 years old.
Youngin,
of course. Can't take me yet. I love video games. Favorite type of video game, FPS games, and you know, if you do that, then that's gonna lead you right to Overwatch.
Definitely. Yeah. So how long have you been playing Overwatch?
Only season 4.
Season 4, okay. Yeah.
Not a veteran, but close.
Mm-hmm. What was that? That's gotta be like 2017?
Yeah, it's 1 year in.
Okay, yeah, it sounds about right. That's cool. Did you start it on PC?
Actually I did play like I think a month of season 1 on Xbox.
Okay. When I had Red on last week, Nindroid does know Red, of course. I didn't know that he started off on console until we had this conversation. I was just like, wow, okay. He started off on Xbone. He was telling us a story about how his sister bought him the game and he wasn't like too into it. And then he was playing some COD and didn't feel like waiting until the patch finished. So he threw in some Overwatch and became addicted. So we have multiple console scrubs.
Oh yeah,
that's me. I played a little bit on console as well with my one buddy Kyle and Jason. My buddy Kyle has a lot of like wrist issues from playing a lot of PC games, so he's pretty much strictly controller. So I played a little bit on PlayStation. I don't like console, but hey,
I'm not into it either.
If you don't have a choice, then screw it.
Got a game how you got a game.
Exactly. So who's your favorite Overwatch League team?
Team?
Yeah.
I never really had a favorite team in like season 1.
Okay.
But this year, I kind of like the Vancouver Titans just because like it's kind of a bandwagon, but like
they're powerhouse.
They kind of just came in randomly and just took it over, and it's just, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So they're probably my favorite.
Yeah, they're taking care of business.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player in the league?
Definitely Agilities.
Yeah. Agilities is the man. He's just kind of on a crapshoot of a team right now.
Yeah, but I always love them because, you know, kind of relate to him. He's young. He's really energetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Agilities is definitely the man. As we jump into further into the season, I think it's going to go back to Agilities being a super dominant player, being able to kind of branch away from playing GOATs and having all these other different comps.
Yeah, I honestly can't wait.
Yeah. I've said that a lot on the cast that GOATs has not been nice to teams, and it definitely has not been nice to the LA Valiant. So now that those chains are kind of breaking, you kind of let people like Agilities play on their natural DPS roles, and you don't have to worry about them playing Zarya or Brig, a character that's not, that really doesn't cater to their strengths. That's awesome. That's awesome to know that you actually did play a little bit of console. I always think that's interesting. I feel like it's kind of like a common thing to hear people like have actually dabbled a little bit in console before switching over to PC or actually playing it full time on PC.
Yeah, like a few years ago, I didn't even know what a PC was.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Last week's game is going to jump right into it. The first game was the Paris Eternal versus the Florida Mayhem, with the Eternal looking lively against a team that is still down in the dumps, regardless of their facelift. They beat them 3-1. I know Cake kind of, Cake is one of the people on our Overwatch team. He was a fan of Florida until they got rid of Tevik, and I kind of can't blame him for kind of jumping ship because Tevik is the man. Mm. But they still really don't look good. It's kind of unfortunate. They make all these changes. They get rid of all of their players from the West and go for an all-Korean roster. I feel like this is a team that they need to start playing with each other more. And I'll probably say that again when we go into the power rankings, but it's a...
doesn't seem like a good decision.
No, really didn't. Really didn't.
You just kind of hope like a miracle would happen so they would just like all of a sudden be number one or something, but...
Exactly.
Never
exactly. Really. And it doesn't look like it's panning out yet. The NYXL played the Washington Justice, and you could probably guess what happened to this game. The NYXL swept Washington Justice. Mm. Not good on the Justice part. Yeah, who would have thunk it? NYXL take that 4-0. What I thought was going to be a better game was the Titans versus Seoul, but then Titans just beat up Seoul Dynasty 3-1.
Seoul Dynasty, like last season, was like they weren't the best, but they were doing pretty good last season.
They were pretty good last season until like a little bit after the midway point. Like. Yeah, like the beginning they were good, and then like they started slipping off, like right after about the midway point of the season. Mm. This season though, they're definitely playing better, which is nice to see because I always thought that Seoul was going to be this team that was just going to be dominant. And they haven't really gotten to that point this season, but they're definitely playing better than they were at the end of last. So that's interesting to see. But they did lose to the Titans 3-1, which kind of sucks. I was hoping for a little bit more of a close match, hoping that would go something like the distance, but it didn't. The last game of Thursday was the Fusion versus the Defiant, with the Fusion winning 3-1. I actually picked the Defiant to win this one because the Fusion are scaring the hell out of me again with Sato. But they did take the win there 3-1 against the Defiant. The first game on Friday was the LA Valiant winning against a now struggling Atlanta Reign team, which is really sad for Atlanta Reign. They lose to Fran and then they just start immediately going downhill, which is really disappointing. They do have Baby Bay that jumped in that position for or where DeFran was, but they're having a hard time getting it going from stage one. So the LA Valiant wins their second game of the season. They win 3-2 against the Reign. The Boston Uprising were next. They actually lost to the Hangzhou Spark. That was pretty interesting. I was not expecting that. I thought the Boston Uprising had that one on lock, but they didn't. 3-2, Hangzhou Spark. The next match was the San Francisco Shock 4-0-ing the Charge. Charge are looking dreadful this stage. They had a pretty middle-of-the-road stage one, but stage two, they haven't won a game yet, and they've been swept 4 times in a row. So they lost 4-0 against the Shock. No big surprise there. No shocker there. The San Francisco Shocker. Again, continuing to fire on all cylinders. The last game of Friday was the Shanghai Dragons versus the Hunters, where the Shanghai Dragons beat the Hunters 3-1, which really shocked me.
It's exciting to see them actually do something.
It really is, yeah. And like, I'm surprised in the fact that the Chengdu Hunters have been running those comps that these other teams are just starting to run in stage two. They've been already running those since stage one, like the Pharah Mercy combo, a lot of Wrecking Ball, comps like that. And I saw them playing Shanghai. I'm like, there's no way Shanghai beats Chengdu at this point. But they did. They did 3-1 Shanghai Dragons. I watched that match. That was a pretty good match. It was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
The London Spitfire played the Philly Fusion. I was thinking the Philly Fusion would beat the Spitfire again. I was wrong. Spitfire won 2-1 there. Spitfire are kind of picking it up. They don't look as bad as they did in stage one. Stage one, they were pretty pretty crappy. But they beat Fusion 2-1. Fusion, as much as I doubt them, Fusion is still a great team. Mm-hmm. But not great enough for me to have a lot of confidence in them. Vancouver Titans were next up against the Houston Outlaws. Red was talking about this because Red was saying that the Houston Outlaws were his favorite team. Of course, yeah, they lost 3-1 to the Titans. Titans still freaking unstoppable even against
them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Houston Outlaws. Houston Outlaws, I was telling Red, they're such a lovable team. They're so likable. They have a great stage presence. But they are playing the Titans, and they're not a team right now that can hang with the top teams. The Dallas Fuel 4-0'd the Toronto Defiant. And speaking of the Dallas Fuel, Senpai noticed me. The Dallas Fuel liked my post on Twitter. I was getting hype about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, yeah. So they started their stage two on fire here. They won 4-0 against Toronto Defiant. Then the Guangzhou Charge got their fourth 4-0 handed against them. To the Los Angeles Gladiators, who are another team that are starting to look pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that team. Super excited. I loved watching them last season. And their start to stage one was a little scary, and then they started picking it up near the end. So we're starting to see a Gladiators team that's more competitive, which is good. The last day, Sunday, April 14th, was the Dallas Fuel versus the Paris Eternal, with the Dallas Fuel winning 2-1. Atlanta Reign played the Washington Justice and beat the Washington Justice 3-1. Just kind of the Washington Justice, man. I just don't know about that damn team. They just keep getting smacked around. Sorry, yeah. Justice fans there. Yeah, they just keep getting smacked around.
Yikes.
Yeah, yikes indeed. New York Excelsior 4-0'd Florida Mayhem. Another shocker.
Yeah, right.
And the battle for LA happened. That was pretty hype. Los Angeles Gladiators took that 2-1. Yeah, the stadium was definitely loud with the two sides kind of battling each other.
Oh yeah, definitely.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. And that was last week. That was week two. And on to week three of stage two. And I got our picks here, and I had Nindroid make his picks. We'll compare some picks like we did with Red last week. So the first game of the week is the NYXL versus the Philadelphia Fusion on Thursday, April 18th at 7. I picked the NYXL, probably pushing Philly's crap in. Who did you have on that one?
Probably. There's a lot of faith in Philly, but like, you can't really stop Excelsior right now.
Yeah. Unless you're in the playoffs. Unless you're in the stage playoffs. You can't stop NYXL. Yeah, definitely there. Definitely there. NYXL, just like Vancouver Titans and Shock, firing on all cylinders. They're pretty unstoppable right now. The San Francisco Shock are the next game against the Toronto Defiant. I picked the Shock on that one.
Yeah. I really like the Defiant. Like, they're all kind of cool, but I probably agree with you on that one, too.
Yeah. I've been waiting for the Defiant to kind of wake up this stage. They were really dominant last stage, and this stage they're 1-3 with a -5 map differential, so they haven't been playing as well, definitely. So I'm waiting for them to kind of wake up. I'd like to see them beat the Shock. That would be interesting, but the way the Shock's playing right now, Shock all the way. The next game is the Gladiators versus the Florida Mayhem. I picked Gladiators there all the way again. Team's on fire.
Yeah, Mayhem's not really doing so bright right now.
No. Their facelift is not really panning out.
Facelift, yeah, that's a good term.
Yeah. It's a shame, too, because they got rid of Tevik and Apply and Mineral. It just kind of sucks. The last game is going to be a good one, but again, it's a 12:15 at night. Why the hell does Blizzard keep doing this to me? The Vancouver Titans versus the Dallas Fuel. I have Titans.
Of course.
I think it's going to be a good game because the Dallas Fuel look pretty damn good, especially with their new acquisition note from the Boston Uprising. But I still got to go with Vancouver. They're still just they're unstoppable right now. I really want to see like Vancouver NYXL or Vancouver Shock.
Yeah.
But Blizzard's not giving it to me. The first game of Friday, April 19th, is the NYXL versus the Atlanta Reign. NYXL all the way again, especially against a struggling Reign team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who do you have on that one?
Same.
Yeah. And yeah, NYXL is just, they're a little crazy right now.
Anyone with the top three in this is pretty much guaranteed to win.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's like the top three are completely unstoppable, and then you have like teams that are decent and pretty good, and then you have like mediocrity, and then you just have complete crap.
Yeah.
It's like so divided. Like the skill from the top three to the bottom three is so large. It's crazy.
Yeah, I just really want to see a match where they just finally put the top three against each other.
Yeah, exactly. Game after that is the Fusion versus Reds Houston Outlaws. I have the Fusion there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Outlaws are they're there. They're hanging out.
They're there.
They're not terrible, but they're not great. I love the team. It's just I don't know. Maybe with the Goats meta kind of fading, maybe they'll get their
Yeah, I can't wait to see how the season changes.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting as time goes on, since we're seeing these people, these teams run things other than Goats, which is nice. Los Angeles Valiant versus the Washington Justice. I actually picked the Justice to win this one, and I think I'm kind of being bold with that pick, since the Justice looks like complete crap. So has Valiant, but...
They're both kind of like crapping on themselves right now, but...
Yeah,
I really want to root for the Valiant to win, but they're really just not looking good at all.
Yeah.
It's so sad to me.
I like that they started playing Custa, which is good, because I love Custa. But I'm picking Justice there. I'm definitely going with Justice. I'm kind of trusting my gut. Like, I don't know. Definitely Justice. The last game of April 19th, well, Friday, it starts at, again, 12:15 at night, damn it, Blizzard. Is the Hangzhou Spark versus the Guangzhou Charge? I have the Spark winning. The Charge look like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you have for that one?
Spark.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Spark are in like another one of those teams where I don't have a lot of faith in them, but I have more faith in them than I do in the Charge. So I have them winning. Boston Uprising versus Spitfire. I have a feeling this is going to be a pretty decent game. I picked Boston Uprising winning this one against the London Spitfire.
Yeah, it's sad to see London kind of like falling off from last year.
Mm-hmm. I think it's another one of those teams that's going to start doing better. Again, with Goats fading. I've been saying the two teams that have been impacted by Goats the most are the LA Valiant and the London Spitfire. Because they have all that talent there, but it's relegated to playing comps that don't really play to their strengths. So... I have a feeling that the London Spitfire are going to start playing better, and they actually climbed in my power rankings a little bit this week. So I have faith in them climbing a little bit higher and higher as the year goes on, the stage goes on. Shanghai Dragons versus the Mayhem. Still have Mayhem losing. I'm going Dragons.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, the Shanghai Dragons are, for some reason, they're just popping off this season. It's really happy to see them actually doing stuff.
Yeah, they've been playing pretty decent. They've won, I think it's 4 games now, which is not a lot, but compared to last year. Yeah, and they beat the Hunters this past week. The Hunters have a pretty decent team, pretty good team. I had the Hunters actually up pretty high in last week's power rankings, so they beat a pretty good Hunters team. So I definitely think that they will be able to beat out a lot of the bottom feeders in the league.
Finally seeing them not being a meme is really good. That's pretty good.
I still kind of feel like they're like everyone's team for just the fact that they were extreme underdogs and
Went
defeated 0-40 last year. Definitely loved Shanghai Dragons. Love Giggory. Yeah, they went defeated.
Jeez, that's the title.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next game is the Dallas Fuel versus the Seoul Dynasty. I feel like this is going to be a pretty decent game, too, but I have the Fuel edging out the Seoul Dynasty there.
I think Seoul. I don't know.
Seoul?
Okay. I feel like Seoul might just go on strong from now on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just thought they were just a really sick team.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of waiting for them to get their stage one legs. They're currently 0-2 with a -3 map differential in this stage, which is kind of disappointing. Mm-hmm. But back in stage one, they were 4-3 with a +5, and they finished in, 7th place. So they had a pretty good stage one. So I'm kind of waiting for that stage two presence here, but we haven't really gotten it yet. But this would be a good game to make a statement against, especially against a pretty good Dallas Fuel team. Mm-hmm. The Gladiators and the Hunters round out day three on 420, man. I picked the LA Gladiators winning that one against the Hunters.
Yeah, Gladiators are, they're almost like the top three, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not really there. They're really good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have them pretty high on my rankings. They're definitely a team that's on the up and up, thankfully.
Yeah.
Definitely. April 21st on Sunday, actually Easter, there is a great matchup to start the day, the Vancouver Titans versus the Boston Uprising. I still got to go with Titans here, but I feel like it's going to be a good map. Boston's not going to just let them run them over.
Yeah, definitely not. But yeah. You could see they're definitely looking like some roadkill from Vancouver Titans. Anybody is, really.
Yeah, yeah. Except for the top three teams. I think
we have no idea.
Exactly, which sucks.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Exactly. The second game on Sunday is the Houston Outlaws versus the Shanghai Dragons. I have the Houston Outlaws taking that one against Dragons.
Wow, you're not rooting for Shanghai, I see.
That's a hard one. I like both of those teams. But I got to go with my gut. My gut's saying Outlaws.
I have faith in Shanghai with that one.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's anyone's game. There's no. That's going to be a good matchup, I think. A good matchup between two teams that are kind of in mediocrity. Should be pretty good. The second to last game, third game here, is the San Francisco Shock versus the Hangzhou Spark. I have the Shock winning that one.
Yeah, that's...
kind of an easy pick there.
Self-explanatory.
yeah. And the last game of the week is the Atlanta Reign versus the Charge. This is probably going to be a dud. I do have Atlanta Reign winning that one.
Yeah, that one... I gotta agree with that one, yeah.
Yeah. Charge look like hell. The Charge are currently 0-4 with 0 map wins, 16 map losses. They have a -16 map differential because they have been swept each time. So they have to get their head... the Guangzhou Charge. No, Shanghai is in 13th place, 1 win, 2 losses, -3 map differential. So Shanghai's actually been... I mean, they're in 13th, which is like almost middle of the pack.
It's better than last place.
Better than last place, exactly. So power rankings... top three didn't change. Vancouver Titans, San Francisco Shock, NYXL. Nothing new there. All three of these teams have been unstoppable. I have a hard time rearranging these teams because they haven't played each other and really proven who's the better team. So I've been pretty much keeping 1-2-3 like the same. it's been a pretty wild ride, especially with Vancouver Titans coming into the league and just dominating.
Yeah, how could you rank the top three without seeing them go against each other? Like, how are you supposed to do that?
Exactly. The way that I have them...
They're kind of just tied.
The way that I have them is Vancouver Titans won stage one. San Francisco Shock were runners up in stage one. Now, NYXL did get beat by the Dynasty, but then if you look at their regular season, they're undefeated. So, I have to put them up there. They have to be number three. Number four, maybe a surprise to some, I actually have the Dallas Fuel up there with Note. They tore it up this week. They look great with Note. It's nice to see that team. They were kind of a mediocre team last stage. They just missed the playoffs. They were in ninth place, four wins, three losses, with a zero map differential. They were just an even map differential.
Yeah.
So far this season, they're 2-0 with a +5 in sixth place in the standings.
Yeah. Last year, they were kind of overhyped. I think, like, you know, when Overwatch League just first started becoming a thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you know, they had, like, Seagull, XQC. Like, they had all the people, all mm-hmm. the streamers and stuff. And then it just kind of, like, it was kind of, like, mediocre. And everyone was like, oh. Okay.
Yeah, and it's refreshing this year to actually see them play well. They played well at the very end of last season when Mickey and Brig came out, and Mickey was playing Brig. But like my one buddy said, and I've said it on the podcast several times, is the Dallas Fuel / Team Envious and Dive never really got along. Like, they were never, like, the best dive comp team. They're always really good at, like, 2-2-2, or they seem like they're playing pretty well with Goats. Yeah, I have them at number four. They've been looking pretty good. They had a pretty decent finish. Like, again, barely missed the playoffs in stage one. But so far, 2-0 with a +5 map differential. They have Node on the team now. They're going to be strong. They're going to be definitely strong.
Mm.
The Boston Uprising are in my fifth spot. Still, like, kind of a sleeper team. They did lose last week. They lost to the Hangzhou Spark, which is a bit of a shock to me, but it went the distance, so it wasn't like they got blown out, and I still have them up there as kind of a sleeper team.
Yeah, they're there.
Oh yeah. The sixth place team is the LA Gladiators, coming back in last season's form, still bringing it, winning the battle for LA. And then going ahead and sweeping the Guangzhou Charge 4-0. So I have them at number six. Number seven, I have the Philly Fusion. They're definitely up there in the top 10, but I still am lacking confidence in my favorite team.
Oh.
So I don't know. Maybe this week they'll make a statement and beat the NYXL.
Oh, yeah, that'd
we'll
be crazy.
I would love that. I would definitely love that. Number eight is the Seoul Dynasty. They've definitely fallen off. They're 0-2 with a -3 map differential, but I still have faith in the team. That's why I kept them in at number eight. Mm. Number nine is the Toronto Defiant. They're also not off to a good start. One win, three losses, -5 map differential. They definitely have that potential, especially from playing last stage where they were in fourth place. So I'm kind of waiting for them to wake up this stage, so I still kept them in the top 10 at number 9. Number 10, the London Spitfire. Again, like I was saying, I definitely can see this team climbing more and more as Goats fades off a little more. So then we can get those DPS players like Birdring back on DPS characters and not sitting there playing Zarya or Brig.
We just gotta wait for this meta rush to just get out of here.
Exactly.
It's all suede.
It's tough, and it, like, really beats teams up, and especially it's just disappointing watching the London Spitfire struggle after they've won the entire season last year. Number 11, I dropped them a bit. The Chengdu Hunters, they lost to Shanghai this week, which was really disappointing. And again, this team has been growing on me for their unorthodox comps they've been running, and I love Bacon Jack along with his name. So they're pretty awesome. I do have them at 11, middle of the road team right now, and we'll see. I don't think they do play the Gladiators this week, which is probably going to be a tough one for them, but I have them coming in at number 11. Number 12 is the Paris Eternal. Like, I just haven't seen enough out of this damn team. Like, I feel bad for putting them that high just because of their skill. Like I've said, they're 2-2 so far with a +1 map differential. So they're playing pretty decently. It's going to be nice again with Goats going away for them, as they'll have Shadowburn and Soon on DPS roles, like I have seen.
Preach.
And those are two really good DPS players that were kind of forced on roles that they don't typically play. The Shanghai Dragon. What's that?
They're just waiting for their time to shine.
Yeah, pretty much. The Shanghai Dragons come in at number 13. I really like this team. Really like Gigri. Really like Gamsu. I like Didying. He's pretty good. Dia, who I haven't really seen yet. I don't think he's played yet, unless I missed a game where he was playing. But they have a pretty decent team. They're sitting in 13th right now. One win, two map losses, and a -3 map differential. They're sitting in the same spot where I have them in their power rankings. I'd like to see them kind of pick up the pace a little bit more.
I have it.
Yeah, they're playing Mayhem. That should be a lock for them. The Houston Outlaws, like we were saying, is probably going to be a pretty good match. My gut's going Outlaws, though. number 14, and I feel bad for doing this, but Atlanta Reign, they just lose to Fran, and they just kind of fall apart, and it's really disappointing. Like, they have Masa, they have Baby Bay, they have Dogman, who's just talking smack all the time. Like, they have this goofy stage presence. Like, they're fun to watch, but they're just slipping. Ever since they lost to Fran, and they get 3-2 against the Valiant. They 3-1 the Washington Justice, but that's unfortunately for the Justice fans, and the Justice team is not really saying much. So I have them in the 14th spot. In the 15th spot, I have the Houston Outlaws. Just another super mediocre team. Sorry, Red. Kind of is what it is.
Damn.
I'm ready for them to pick up the pace. And like I said, I did pick them beating the Shanghai Dragons this week. So we'll see where they land. The Hangzhou Spark are number 16th. I just really don't have too much faith in this team. It's kind of like this team this entire season has been a thorn in my side because I don't know what to think about it. And tweet at me and let me know if you guys think the same. Like, I have a hard time judging the Spark. I haven't been able to look at. There's really not. No. They have Gushue, who's like pretty good. And that's really like all that I can think of off the top of my head. Like, they have a pretty okay team. They're not bottom feeders, but I mean, they're almost there. They definitely have one of the greatest skins in the game, and of course one of the greatest logos in the game, which I think has kind of brought on their popularity into the league.
Oh, that's all you need. All you need is
good skins and good branding. Number 17, I finally moved them out of the last spot. The LA Valiant, they won their second game this year.
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah. They barely lost the Battle of LA against a good Gladiators team 2-1. And they beat the Atlanta Reign 3-2. The Atlanta Reign has talent there, so I had to move them up a little bit. So I moved them into the 17th spot. I love how they're playing Custa again. That's really great to see. So, yeah, number 17, LA Valiant. Number 18, the Florida Mayhem. Just, like I said, I think they need to build the chemistry more with their team. They have all of these players from Korea. Yeah, and then they just drop Apply and Tavik and Mineral, like we spoke about last week with Red, and it's just disappointing, and it's just, I don't know.
Tell me you should do something like that during off season or something.
Yeah.
Like now.
That much of a change, yeah, yeah. Because that was a big change, getting rid of someone like Tavik, who's been with the Misfits organization forever.
Yeah.
Number 19, Washington Justice. This team is just not good at all.
Yeah.
I saw a comment. I can't remember who it was from on Twitter, but they are basically saying, like, it just straight up doesn't look like the Washington Justice even want to play. Like, they're kind of missing that. Yeah, they're just throwing. They're just missing that spark. They just look terrible. I don't know. I really do hope they pick it up, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon.
So what does this say about the 20th place?
The Guangzhou Charge getting swept 4 times in a row. Like, getting swept 4 times in a row, it's really hard to avoid being put in last place in the league in power rankings. 0-4, -16 map differential. They look like hell right now. They finished in 11th place last stage, 3-4, with a -1 map differential, which isn't horrible. That's one from the middle of the pack. They're in the middle of the pack, but they were 11th out of 20th. So, yeah, they didn't have the greatest stage, but 3-4 -1 map differential, that's not bad for a brand new team into the league. And this stage, they can't even breathe. It's just they're being smothered, and it's unfortunate. Yeah. Now on to my favorite part, what's going to be my favorite part of this episode, Overthoughts. We got the brand new Storm Rising patch with the PvE content. We got Havana in there. We got a boatload of new skins. We got a boatload of new content and some buffs slash nerfs going out there. Buff slash nerfs. It's kind of situational. The way that you're looking at Junkrat, some people consider it a nerf. Some people consider it a buff.
It's definitely just how you play the character.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So Storm Rising. Have you played any Storm Rising yet? I honestly haven't.
Yeah. The moment that it dropped, I played out each one in order just to just get a feel of what it was and what it is, and it's just. It's such a good event. It's good. So good.
My one colleague from work, so he's a big Overwatch guy. He has like the Doomfist statue. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Shout out to Phil. What's going on, Phil? he was saying that it was extremely easy this year. He felt like it was very underwhelming, especially like in the difficulty department. Did you feel that at all? Like, did you feel that the difficulty level of this year's PvE experience is kind of low compared to previous archive events?
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do is kind of focus on the story just to, like, it feels like they just rushed a lot of characters all of a sudden. Like, who was the one that was talking on the...
Oh, so Sojourn.
Sojourn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she was there, and then, what was it, Maximilian?
Maximilian, yeah.
Maximilian,
yeah.
He was looking cute in the cutscenes, not gonna lie. He's got that robo hairline going for him. He looks nice.
Maximilian looks really freaking cool. I know he's an accountant, but screw it, he looks really cool. He's an accountant,
but make him a character.
But make him a character now, Jeff. What are you waiting
yeah,
for?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. He said it was definitely underwhelming in the difficulty department this year, which is kind of sad to see. I haven't played it yet, so I got to get in there and play a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it looks pretty awesome. We got a lot of really cool skins that came out. I like all of them. There's not a bad skin that came out, in my opinion. We have Ash's Socialite skin. She kind of looks like a pimp.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah.
I like Bob's suit.
Bob's suit looks pretty good. He doesn't have the derby hat either. He's just Bob.
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of the funniest tweets ever. Someone, when Overwatch announced the skin on Twitter before the event, they showed Ash's skin, but they didn't show it with Bob. And someone was like, "Where's Bob?" And someone responded, "Doing something." And I freaking lost it. It's such a great response. But that skin looks pretty great. I like it. I like it a lot. I like pimp Ash. Bob is definitely the highlight in that one. I do definitely like Bob's outfit.
Who cares about awesome. Ash? Yeah, I want to play as Bob.
Yeah, give me Bob, yo. Make Bob a playable character. The next one is Baptiste Talon skin. That was the first one that was released.
Oh, yeah.
That one looks really good, too. I like it. I like the color scheme. He looks pretty cool. He's got some cool looking dreads going on. I dig him. He looks cool.
Definitely.
Bastion has another Omnic skin. It's the Guishan skin.
Guishan,
I guess that's how you say it. Looks pretty cool. He looks very devilish. He's got two horns on him.
Oh, yeah.
I like it a lot. I got that skin from a loot box because I'm an idiot and buy loot boxes every every time, every event. McCree's Deadlock Gang skin, pretty cool. It's a very like casual look for him, but...
Yeah.
I like it. Do you like that one? The Deadlock one?
It's not the greatest, but what does it say about McCree? Was McCree like, is this what he used to look like? Was he?
Yeah, I know he was in the Deadlock gang, so he's known Ash for a while in the lore.
Yeah.
Because he was part of the Deadlock gang like Ash, but then he broke off to join Blackwatch. Believe that's the series of events. Moira Scientist. Now, I know Intrusion on our team does not like the Scientist skin, but I tell you, I love it.
Yeah, everybody says it's bad. I kind of like it. It's just kind of like chill. It's kind of like Hanzo's casual skin.
Yeah.
It's casual.
It's kind of basic, but it fits the character perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like about it. I don't know.
I never really liked any of Moira's skins, but this one is, like, the only one I think I'm going to like.
Yeah. Yeah, she hasn't had too many great skins. I didn't mind the Celtic demon thing.
The Banshee Banshee.
The Banshee skin. There you go. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name of it. I thought that one was pretty cool. I don't have, like, that many of her skins, as much as I love playing Moira. Soldier 76 has a formal skin.
I love
That's pretty cool with the medals. Yeah. Yeah, that looks pretty good. I like that one a lot.
So classy.
There are also some epic skins that were released. Junkrat's Circus skin. This is the clown one that was announced right before we recorded last week's podcast. Thank you, Blizzard, for freaking waiting for once. That one's kind of bait. I mean, they're epic, so they're just recolors. What do you think about the Junkrat
for
one?
For an epic, I really like the Junkrat one. Like, I don't really like the clown ones, like the legendaries. Mm-hmm. Like, this purple is better than the clown legendaries.
Like the Joker-looking ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, like the... Yeah.
Yeah, there's really want to honk his nose in that skin, not gonna lie.
Dude, I don't want to jump through and honk his nose.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Wrecking Ball has a high roller skin.
I think that's a perfect name for a perfect skin.
It's so great. Yeah, he's got the glasses on and everything. Mm. Zarya has a skin called Racer. Pretty basic, but I love the orange and the yellow, or the orange and the teal and the white. It looks good to me. Like, I know it's just a reskin, but to me, it looks pretty good.
Also, compared to, like, all of her other skins, where she doesn't really have that many good skins.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for this one, like, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things ever got released. Currently, now my favorite highlight intro is Wrecking Ball's dramatic intro takes from the dramatic chipmunk video back from 2007, old memes, resurrecting some really old memes. It just fits the character so nice. And what I love about the high roller skin is that when he turns around in dramatic fashion, this glasses slowly fall off of his face and then completely fall off of him. I was pissing myself last night when I saw this, and I don't even play him, and I'm like, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's the first time I saw that, I was just in awe. I was like, is this real? Am I actually watching this? Like, they actually did that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty great. I know that Doomfist also got a highlight intro that was pretty interesting.
I mean, it didn't really seem like, you know, archivey, you know?
Yeah. It kind of felt like it would just be, like, released normally. It didn't really seem like an event one where it was, like, really over the top.
Or, like, had, like, a prop or something.
Yeah, yeah. I believe there was another highlight intro, too, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But I believe there were three highlight intros. I know there were also some victory poses. There is a good victory pose for Widowmaker where she's hanging off the top of the screen. Yeah, that one's pretty good. Zen has a new victory pose. Of course, there's a bunch of voice lines. Unfortunately, Mei only had one voice line. So, you know, pick that up. Yeah. Overall, I like the skins. I like the event stuff, the unlockables.
Yeah.
And the dramatic is, yeah, hands down, my favorite highlight intro. It's so ridiculous and so fitting of the character. So there were some adjustments made to some characters. Junkrat's frag launcher, the projectile speed was increased from 20 to 25, but the grenades bounce less but explode earlier.
And that's kind of vague.
Yeah.
It's something like where it only can hit like two things, or it hits one thing and then it slows down, and the moment it hits the next thing, it explodes. It explodes. No matter what.
Yeah, so it only really lingering. Gets like one bounce.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. How does that make you feel as a Junkrat player? Because I know you play him a lot.
So the way I play him, like, there's two different ways you can play Junkrat. Either you're just spamming in, applying pressure, just leaving bombs on people for them to walk on for the next like 5 seconds or so, or you're just, you know, far range sniping people, which is honestly really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
With this, from 20 to 25, which doesn't seem like a lot, but in the end, that's actually a lot. Really different. If you don't play a lot of Junkrat, you might say it's like pretty similar, but it's really different if you play a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And air shots are going to be crazy with Junkrat. I definitely think they're going to start playing, like, I know they play him a little bit right now in the league, but I think they might play him a little bit more.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it'd be nice to see how that plays out in Overwatch League. I love when these characters get changes in how the pros play them. It's always interesting. Reaper got another buff, damn it, to Shadow Step. Cooldown was released for Shadow Step from 7 to 6 seconds.
Cooldown was reduced. Oh.
Yeah. It can now be used in midair. The Shadow Step exit time was reduced from 1 second to a half second. Reaper is now invisible for the entire exit
time.
That's
the big thing.
Yeah. Railings and similar objects no longer block Shadow Step.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Is now disabled by Zarya's Graviton Surge Ultimate and Junkrat's Steel Trap.
Wait, what is that? Is this saying you can't get out of those things?
I guess you can't get out of them now.
I mean, I don't think you ever could you? With the E?
I honestly have never tried. I don't play much Reaper. But I mean, never tried.
I've trapped a lot of Reapers, and they never teleport out.
No, I know that they can Wraith, so you can't hit them.
Yeah, but they're kind of just, like, stay still.
And I know that you can, like, Wraith to get out of a Zarya Grav, but, yeah. Like, actually using the Shadow Step, I've never actually tried it.
Yeah, no.
Well, apparently you probably used to be able to if they're disabling it.
Yeah, right.
The last one was also kind of from what Reaper got, how the railings and similar objects no longer block Shadow Step. Railings and similar objects no longer block teleporter placement for Symmetra. Yeah,
those things were always glitchy trying to teleport or use the teleporter. They always just like made it so you just couldn't get anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And that sucks. So yeah, that would be a nice like little quality of life change for the Symmetra players out there.
Not much, but... You know, they might see a difference, so.
Yeah. Definitely. So the last thing I wanted to talk about was Nickel. Oh, Nickel.
Oh, the man.
He was at Blizzard HQ for some freaking reason. Maybe it's a contract thing. Streaming on Facebook, which kind of sucks. I love his YouTube videos. I like his content. But it sucks that it was on Facebook. But... it was him and a few other players. I was watching a video a little bit earlier today when I first heard about this news, and I unfortunately cannot remember the other players off the top of my head, but I'll make sure to throw that in the notes for the cast. But they were at Blizzard HQ talking to our Lord and Savior, Jeff Kaplan.
Oh, the man himself.
The man Jeff himself. Kaplan. I got to see Jeff Kaplan in the flesh, and Barclays Center got so freaking hype. It was great seeing him. He was like full of such energy. It was great seeing Papa Kaplan.
He always looks so happy.
He really does. Yeah, he really does. So they asked him some questions, the people that were at Blizzard HQ with old Nickel O'Nickel. Mm. And they were asking about new releases, and he said that everyone's favorite mech pilot will be getting a skin that will, quote, break the internet. So, this better be something crazy, because if it's going to break the internet, it's got to be pretty good.
And by break the internet, I'm sure everybody out there knows what that means.
Yes. Definitely new things on Pornhub for Overwatch.
Oh, wow. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it?
Put out the answer.
Yeah, yeah. It's next to the Hammond section.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Who hasn't been there? Been there, done that.
But break the internet. So we're in for a treat with D.Va. I actually like the D.Va skins that they've came out with. There's not a single D.Va skin that they have came out with that I don't like.
I don't really like the B1.
You don't like the B1?
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a little odd, but I like it. I like the gun, too, how it has a little B charm at the end of it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
But yeah, D.Va is getting a new skin. I believe it's for the... anniversary event, which would be coming late May, so yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Something that was also talked about was the new map Havana that we're playing now in Storm Rising is going to be a payload map, and that he said this map will hit the PTR very soon. Ninjroid and I took a look at when Rialto was released, and it looked like it was about 3 weeks after Retribution came out. Retribution came out April 10th, and the map for Rialto came out on May 3rd. So April 10th to May 3rd, almost a month, about 3 weeks. So we should probably expect this map to come out around
mid-May.
Yeah. Yeah. But it'll be on the PTR definitely sooner. That release date for Rialto was... it going live for quick play, and then I think it was like 2 weeks later it went out for comp.
Yeah. I know you said you didn't play it yet, but like in it, like when you're outside, you know how it's like Storm Rising, right? That's the name.
Yeah.
When you go outside, the trees are just blown in the wind. It's like you're in a movie or something. I wonder if like it's still going to be stormy outside when we get the map.
Yeah. I would probably say I doubt it for the simple reason that, like, Rialto was taking place, like, at night.
Yeah.
And the Rialto map that we got is, like, a daytime map. So I don't know if they'll keep that in there.
Do we have any night maps?
Lijiang.
Lijiang,
I believe, is. Yeah, Lijiang is, I know for a fact. I know Watchpoint Gibraltar looks like it's sun's, like the sun is setting because it's so damn bright.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, Dorado, I believe, is a night map too.
Yeah.
I believe Dorado is a night map. So Dorado and Lijiang Tower. So maybe we'll get a Havana night map. That'll be interesting.
I would like to see that.
There was other stuff discussed with Nickel O'Nickel. Stuff like Sojourn and the Junker Queen. And they said that although these characters are not going to be the new character coming out, they're definitely important, and especially he emphasized that a lot when he talked about the Junker Queen. So I don't know if we're gonna get the Junker Queen at some point, or if they're looking to put a little bit more lore around the Junker Queen.
I hope so.
Be great. That'd be great. I'd love to get a female character from the
I want something from Junkertown. Just more Junkertown stuff.
Exactly. Junkrat and Roadfat are like amazing characters.
All we know about them is that they're bank robbers, like Mayhem, and they like bombs. That's it.
Yeah. And they're both pretty freaking insane. But yeah. I'm really excited to try the Retribution event out. I'll definitely elaborate on my experiences on next week's cast. But yeah, I've yet to play it. I definitely do need to jump in and play a little bit of it. Try it out.
Definitely. It's
unlock
really good.
Some more stuff, more loot boxes, more good gear. I mean,
you don't think you have enough?
I mean, I got the Hammond highlight intro, and I also got the high roller thing too, so I can just watch his glasses endlessly fall off of his face. It's so good. I'm so happy Blizzard did something ridiculous like that. And there were some people, of course, there's going to be some nerds that were mad. Oh, this is in 2007, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't freaking matter. It was so well done. I don't want to hear that excuse. Oh, this is old.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah. But that's really going to do it for episode 34. Thank you for joining me, Nendroid.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it.
Go ahead and give out some plugs. If you want people to follow your social media accounts, where they can follow you at. Do you have any?
Plugs.
And plugs.
Twitch.tv/Nendroid83.
Boom.
There you go.
All right. Twitch.tv/Nendroid83. You can find myself on @TheMagaming on Twitter. Twitch.tv/MidAtlanticGaming. Again, reminder, the end of the semester is coming up, so I'll start streaming a little bit more. I'm super excited to get back into it. I was going really hard last summer, so super excited to get back into it. You can find the podcast at TheOverNerds, facebook.com/TheOverNerds. You can send us an email. It is TheOverNerds@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, The_OverNerds. You can check us out also on TheGeekscape.network. Check us out there. Check out the site for your next nerdy podcast. Definitely check out Analog Jones podcast. Analog Jones has a really cool podcast where they talk about the days of running videos in the video store. Him and his Analog Jones and his buddy reminisce of the old times. So definitely check them out. Nendroid and myself are also part of an Overwatch team, as I've told you a million times. It is mightylions.org. I do know that it looks like we are going to be recruiting some people soon, so check us out, mightylions.org. The Discord's on there. It's also an application to apply. Pugs every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, so come join us for some pugs. Drop by, say hello. Say hello to Nendroid, say hello to me. Say what's up to Red.
Oh, you'll love me.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time. We have a good time over there. If you really liked our intro, and you should really like it, and you have no other option, check out Max Brown on SoundCloud. His link is in the description. He is freaking amazing, and I say it every single time, and I'm not going to stop saying it. I love our intro. It's great. That's about it, guys. Have a good one.
Ah. the smell of the video store. I love this place.
Do you remember when you could just look at the walls of covers?
We had to choose just by looking at the cover and reading the crappy synopsis.
It was, you were leaving with one.
And the only way to know what new movies were coming out is you actually had to watch the trailers instead of skipping them.
Right, we didn't have the internet to look it up. We had one guy named Todd behind the counter that would tell us what was good or not.
And Todd strangely liked way too many romantic comedies.
Yes, but you always knew when the boobies were coming because Todd made sure.
Oh, and remember all the awful CG we had to put up with in the mid-90s?
We talk about that a lot, don't we?
Join us on Analog Jones and the Temple of Film, where we talk about VHS tapes.
And we wax nostalgia like none other.